morning.
Good morning.
She had to make sure we got him out of the ground before she quit there, amen? Good to see you this morning. It's good to be seen, amen? Yeah, thank you for your prayers. I've been sick for quite a while and still fighting a little something. Now I think I've given it to my wife. She's here today, but she's not feeling all that great. And I see Alice Akers is back with us this morning. She's been out with surgery for quite a while, so it's good to have her back. Well, Brother Burke, come get us going.
Okay, we make sure that the ushers give Brother Perkins a visitor's card this morning. Amen. It is good to have him back. We've missed him the last several weeks. And I looked this morning on my phone to see if I had a text saying you weren't going to be here again. So, amen. We're glad to have him back. We've missed him as well. So, let's stand together. Take your hymn books, turn to 575. All the way in the back of your book, 575. I wandered in the shades of night, but now I've got the sunlight in my soul. Amen. Here we go. I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love bid all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Found me. I have had the sunlight of his love within on the last. Soon I shall see him as he is, light that came to me. This of his love throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight. Sunlight of his love within. All right, did that wake you up? You gotta get the sunlight in your soul this morning. Number up to the front of your book, number 43. Number 43, you know the chorus. I think his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Before we sing this, though, go ahead and take time. Shake hands with those around you. Greet them. Tell them you're glad to have the sunshine in your soul. Let's sing that together. Here we go. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King. Oh,
Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. Bow down before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. And do you know this one? Let's sing it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Amen. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but his name will remain. Thank you. That was beautiful singing this morning. Thank you. You may be seated.
Got a couple of messages for you here this morning. The church-wide gym sale will be this Saturday, June the 7th, from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. All proceeds go to the team mission trip. Donations can be dropped off at the church office, gym, or you can contact Brother James Vercellis for pickup if you need that to be done. Then also, our Spanish Bible Conference is going to be Sunday, June the 8th through Wednesday, June the 11th, and it will be held at the Landmark Baptist Church Auditorium, so that'll be right here for you. Then junior camp will take place from June the 16th through June the 20th. You can register your child at landmarkbaptistchurch.org, Camp Glory. And any donation that you can give will be much appreciated. You just take your envelope, mark it camp, or if you put it in, if you just check form, just put camp on it, and the proceeds will go to camp. And we'll look at the prayer list now. Let me see here. Vesta Connolly is having leg surgery. They believe it's cancer in her leg, and she's having some pretty serious surgery there. So be in prayer for Sister Connolly. Then let me see. Also, Shirley Woman is asking for some help from a doctor's for the ongoing knee pain. She's been really hurting there, and I guess they're not able to find out what's going on. And so be in prayer there. Then we want to pray for the 12-year-old Elizabeth Owens, daughter of our missionaries. She is in the hospital for recent surgery on her arm and leg after a four-wheeler accident. So be praying for her recovery. Then also we want to pray for Jenny Williams for her hip replacement, and Daniel Jones surgery for blockage in his leg. And then we also want to continue to pray for Ralph Hutchison, Cindy Bradford, Russ Measuresmith, and Linda Donahue for their recovery. And then those on our cancer list, Angela Wilkie, David Murdoch, and Dan Canals. So continue to pray for those folks. And if you'll stand with me, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask Dr. Lee if he would pray for us this morning. Yes, Father. time. You remain standing, Brother Bert.
All right, it's June 1st today. How about that? So if you have a birthday this coming week or this past week, we'd like to honor you if you'd come on down. You do that while we sing. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Only one will not do. Take Christ as your Savior, and then you'll have to. Amen. Happy birthday. Is it your birthday too? Okay, I don't know. All right, so happy birthday to whoever has a birthday. All right, here's one too. It's not your birthday. Your son's birthday. That's okay. We want to celebrate for him too. Thank you so much. That's great. All right. How about anniversaries? I know we have anniversaries in June, right? So anybody has an anniversary this week or this coming week, come on down. Sweeter as the years go by, sweeter as the moments fly. They're not sure how many years. He said he's been married all his life. They came up with 46, and then they decided it was 47. So I know you're older than 47 now, so okay. He got married when he was 10. Happy anniversary to them. And Brother Otches, where do you go, Jevin? You're back here. Where you all? You're always over here. You're not back. Okay, so it's your anniversary, you and Lydia, 3 years. Yes, sir. Amen. Congratulations. I can't believe it's been 3 years already for you guys as well, too. So that's wonderful. Congratulations. Thank you. You may be seated. And now, before our lesson this morning, Brother Harold is coming to sing for us.
Life has been so good, I can't complain. When I'm down, God gives me strength to rise again. But I'm so weary of the struggle of it all. How I listen, oh, how I listen for His call. Like lately, it's always on my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this old world behind. 'Cause heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. You know, it's so hard to lose a loved one. But we have that blessed hope that Jesus gave. You see, my God's gonna wipe every tear from every eye. When we meet Him in that land beyond the sky, you see, heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. On my mind. Someday I'm gonna leave this old world behind. 'Cause heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. Oh, someday I'm gonna leave this old world behind. Sounding sweeter all the time, all the time.
Amen. Amen to that. Amen. Well, we're going to take up the offering here in the Bible class, and we'll ask the folks to play for us.
Good to be here. Good to have another opportunity to open up the Word before you. Wasn't too nervous this morning until I got here. I'm pretty nervous. I look up and see everybody's face. So if there's some visitors here, you come to see Pastor Carter. I'm not Pastor Carter. Right. He's upstate visiting some family. So he's asked me to bring the lesson this morning. And if you got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 23. Just simple little thought here. And well, that song is good. It's just man, the longer you're here on this earth, your body's hurt. And everything that's going on, all the trials, all the tribulations, all the struggles, you know, all the heartaches. You know, we try and look through all them things and find the best that we can find of that to be encouraged. But it's we're human. Our flesh is going to beat us down. It's going to beat us down. And the only thing that holds me together, that helps me, is this Word of God right here. And I purchased this Bible, I think, in 22, and it took me a little while. You know, y'all hear Pastor Carter talking about not wanting to change his Bible or whatever. Well, I had a Bible that I used since I had gotten saved in 2013, and I used it up till 2022, and I decided to buy this Bible here, and I struggled for the longest because I was so used to the other Bible. I could find things. I knew that people at the church thought that I was this scripture memorization person, but I just had like this picture memory. I could say, I know it's in this book, and it's over here on this part of the page, and I could go find it. And I could find it that way, and it seemed like I knew where all the scriptures were, like I knew everything, but it wasn't that. So yesterday, I knew me and Pastor Carter had talked, and it wasn't set in stone yet, but I wanted to be prepared. So yesterday when we was having the gym sale, I didn't want to bring this Bible because it was raining out pretty good that yesterday morning. And just not taking a chance of getting it wet and getting it messed up, I brought another Bible that I had. But it just wasn't the same to me. I mean, it's the Word of God, but it's different. I got some markings, and if you looked in here, you wouldn't have no idea what I'm doing. And sometimes I don't neither, but all right. But we'll just all bear together on that. But a good simple thought here today, as I was reading through, little things jump out at me, little simple passages. Just, it's one little verse here. There's just a saying there. But where we're at right now is Jesus is fixing to be led up to the cross. All right. He's been brought here before Pilate. Pilate says, I find no fault in him. He sends him to Herod. There's a verse here that just seems very intriguing to me. I'll start reading in verse 1, and we'll read down through about 8 or 9. It says, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Now that kind of strikes me a little bit there, that they don't even want to recognize him as Jesus Christ. But I'll just little side note here. In this day and age, sometimes we refer to the pastor as his first name. I'm sorry, that irritates me. It's either brother or pastor. The authority, he's been put there. He's been placed there by God. All right? And we should recognize that, not to reverence him and honor him in the fact of putting him above God, but we should reverence him. That's just a side note. And Pilate asked him, verse 3, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answered him and said, "Thou sayest it." Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, "I find no fault in this man." And they were the more fierce, saying, "He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place." When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Verse 8, it says this, "And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him." Now, we understand here that Herod wasn't excited to see him because he recognized that he was Jesus Christ, but he wanted to see a miracle. He heard many things that had been done. The message has been spread out. Remember, many times Jesus would say, "Hey, don't tell nobody what just happened. Don't tell nobody." But what would happen? They would go spread it even the more, right? And but we see here that he was desirous. It says he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season. Here's the question that I thought about when I came across this verse here. When I was reading, I underlined it in my Bible there and made me some little note cards here. But the question I got is, we got to ask this question, am I desirous to see Jesus? Brother Harold just sung a song about going to heaven and how all the tears will be wiped away, all the struggles of this life, everything that we face, that we is just so vigorous and so hard for us. It's all going to go away one day if you're saved. But if you're not, it's not good. Not good at all. Let's look at some things in here. It says, "Am I desirous to see Jesus work in me?" That's a question. Is that something that I'm desirous to see? I don't remember exactly who it was. I want to say it was Brother Mullins the other night, but somebody mentioned that the Lord can do more in you than he can do through you. You know, this new age movement, this new movement that we have of this prosperity, everything's prosperity, you know, and I'm being used as a channel. I'm just channeling through me. But we don't never let it stop. We want to keep doing. We want to keep doing. But we need to stop and let him work in us. Because without the right mentality, the right attitude, the right spirit, the right heart, working with these teenagers, we were in there Friday, and one of them was saying, "Well, I've got to, because I'm trying to earn my trip, because I've got to." I said, "Can I share something with you for a second?" I asked him, I said, "You have a youth group here, right?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Do you enjoy your youth group?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "You should be thankful that you have a youth pastor that invests time out of his life to spend with you." The church that I came up in, we didn't have a youth group. We had just a few teens, like me and my sister, my brother, and the pastor's two kids. That was it. Sunday morning, you had a few kids come in on a van, but we never got together with them. Just how it was back then. Not saying they were wrong, but I said, we're fixing to get an opportunity to go to another town, another state, and help a church. There's kids just like you that would love to have something like this. And we get that opportunity to go there, to get these kids to come in, to help encourage the church through these kids, through the work that we're going to be able to do for them. I told him, I said, go walk back through that gym again. I was like, you look at all this stuff and you're like, man, we got to move all this stuff. We got to move all this stuff. And I said, go back and look and see what the Lord has laid in your hands that we get to use. People are going to bring in money to buy it. We're going to take that money and we're going to transfer it. We're not keeping it. It's not going to no savings account. That money is going to be used and we're fixing to go and spend it. Gas, vehicle, airplane tickets, flyers, everything that we're going to do. So we have to be desirous. We should be desirous to see the Lord work in us. You know, Paul, when you use this word, it scares people and people get a little bit nervous. But there is mysteries in the Bible. Amen. And Paul reveals some of these mysteries. And one of them is here in Colossians 1:26. It says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We get saved when we accept Jesus Christ. He moves within us through the Holy Spirit. All right, so now what we should do is we should think about this. The places that I go, would Jesus go there? The things that I watch, would Jesus watch these things? Now, we can't think this with our mind. We had a young lady in the back here trying to tell me that women can be preachers, and I said, well, let me show you what the Bible says. So she was kind of joking with me. She was like this right here. I said, don't fight me. It's the Word of God, you know? So, right? But you see what I'm saying? A lot of times in this day and age, it's more of what I think, what I feel. Oh, it's what I feel. No, it should be what the Holy Spirit lays upon your heart. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're not opening your Bible, the Lord can't speak to you. Because he has revealed himself, Hebrews chapter 1, through his Son, the living Word of God. This is how he speaks to us. Now, I'm not going to tell you, someone who's just been saved, that you're just getting into the Word of God, that you're going to read a verse and it's going to say, Chris, I want you to go down the road and knock on 3 doors a day. It don't say that. But as you study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is going to move you and put a desire in your heart. You'll be desirous to work for him. It's not that you're going to work for him because you got to work for him or because you have to work for him. It's because you get to work for him. All right? Proverbs 8 talks about wisdom. It says wisdom in chapter 1 says, crieth out. Just read it this morning where wisdom stands at the door and cries out. Think about that. This Bible sits on our counter and it cries out for us to open it and read it. I'm not telling you it's the easiest thing to do. I've had many people tell me, I just can't read. I can't read. I just can't focus and this and that. I said, get one small book and start reading that one small book. One chapter, one verse, something. Start off. You got to start somewhere. Yeah, you're not going to sit down and read the whole Bible in one weekend. All right? Take a little bit at a time. But it's full of wisdom. Proverbs is full of wisdom. And in Proverbs chapter 8 there, verse 34, it says, blessed is the man that heareth me. Y'all see people wearing these blessed shirts? I'm blessed. Everybody says I'm blessed. Well, you study the Bible, you'll find out there's some qualifications to be blessed, not just putting a shirt on. All right? It says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So for me to be desirous to see Christ, I need to be hungry for the Word of God. Are we desirous to see Jesus work in the church? Because in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, he said he loved the church and gave himself for it. many people come to church. I ran across a verse when Jesus was being hung on the cross. It said these people sat and watched. So how many people sit and watch what's going on, right? Many people may be afraid to start something, as in a ministry or something. I know where I was at, small church, there wasn't a lot of people. Somebody had to start it, okay? Well, if you ever played baseball, baseball is a game of failure, all right? Just guaranteed you're going to strike out. If you don't want to strike out, don't never play baseball, okay? Pretty simple. But the only way to learn is sometimes we have to learn from our mistakes, all right? You know, I've told some of the teenagers, I'm like, listen, you come in here sometimes with a bad attitude, and sometimes I get it wrong. See, we don't always understand what these teenagers are going through. Just found out last Sunday that there was a young man we were talking, and he's wanting to go into the military, and his dad had passed away some years ago, not too long ago. But so see, we don't understand why some kids may act the way they act. Maybe they lost a loved one. Well, we come in, we don't really know that they lost a loved one, so what are we going to do? You're fixing to behave. No, we need to make that connection. Make that connection. We want to see Jesus work in the church. I was talking, I'm reading through the book of Numbers right now in the Old Testament, and I'm over in the book of John right now in the New Testament in my reading, but I ran across this. In Numbers chapter 12, remember, Miriam and Aaron came before God because Moses had married the Ethiopian. They're like, God, you've got to do something about this. Well, he did. He put leprosy on Miriam. If you read through that, and check this out. This is what caught my attention just the other morning. Chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. It said that the people of God could not move because of Miriam having leprosy. What is leprosy a picture to us New Testament Christians? Sin. Think about this. We have to ask ourselves this question. Is my sin hindering the people of God from moving forward? And you would say, surely not me. Listen, if there's sin in the camp, go back and read what happened when Korah's whole family got wiped out. There was sin in the camp. Listen, God set up things structured. People don't like structure anymore. We want to just willy-nilly do whatever we do, however we want to do it. No, go back and read the Old Testament. There was order in everything they did. And if you did not bring your sacrifice in the right order, he might kill you. But it wasn't accepted for sure. Where does that apply to us today? Well, a lot of times we just think that we can call ourselves giving a sacrifice by coming to church. Think about this. This hit me too. When they would bring their sacrifice, if you go back and read it, they'd have to cut the blood, catch the blood, give it to the priest. Now they got to wait for the priest to cut the sacrifice in the pieces that need to be, because you have a wave offering. You got to wait on that. You have a heave offering. Then the priest has to wash this sacrifice down. They didn't just come up in there and go, all right, take care of my sins, I'm out of here. Right? They spent time there at the tabernacle. They were concerned. In this age of grace, we've become so lackadaisy that it's not serious to us anymore. And we wonder why people don't want to get saved. On to the next point. Do we want to see, are we desirous to see Jesus work in others? Now, we have a large number of people that go out and knock doors. All right? But there's discipleship. Do we want to see those people that get saved? This has been a thing that's been brought out. You know, you run into somebody. When I was in Maryland, I asked this gentleman. I knocked on his door. He said that he was saved. He said he had kids. I said, sir, before I leave, can I ask you a question? I said, are your kids saved? Proverbs 22 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they shall not depart, right? We are training our children in a way. The question is, what way am I training them? Because the things as us adults do, the children watch, and they're going to replicate what we do and magnify it, right? So we have to be cautious in everything that we do. Some people say, you know, man, you're a little bit too serious and a little bit too this and that. Well, just understand this. As a Christian, in your daily life, in our daily life, everybody's eternity is kind of really held in our hands. Because if we go to a store and we're just going to act out any kind of way we want to act out, and then you go unknowingly in the community knocking on doors, and there's that person that was just at the cash register behind you when you went off, they're going to be like, whoa, that was you the other day. What you talking about? Right? So we always got to be on guard. Paul here, he's always, if you study his life, he pretty much spent his life pouring into others, trying to make others. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says this, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. You know, right there he's saying, man, I don't care what man thinks of what I'm saying. I'm telling you what God says, and that's where we should be. Now, not be hateful about it, because I just be honest with you. Sometimes we have an evil, mean spirit because we know the truth, right? John says Jesus was full of grace and truth, right? So if we can show me in here where we're allowed to have quote-unquote righteous indignation. I've always seen where we're to exhort and lift up, encourage the brethren, right? Let me read on. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. When we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you. Listen to this. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. If Paul the Apostle says that I wanted to pour every ounce of my being into you, as we win people to Christ, we should be willing to pour ourselves into us, to others. Because you know what happens if we don't? Church dies. The church dies. And then what happens? Well, we want a safe haven, so to say. We want a good church for our children and our grandchildren to grow up in. But if we don't reproduce, then the church will die. There will be none there, right? Listen, there's plenty of people out there that expect the faithful members, the faithful servants of God, to be true and faithful to the house of God. So that way, when they have troubles, they have a place to run to. Just as we learned the other night, the city of refuge, right? But why do they expect us to be faithful and they not be faithful? You know, that's a struggle that I've always had in balancing things out in my life. In Colossians 1 and 9, it says this, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That was Paul's desire. If you, just as you read through the epistles of Paul there, you see how much he wanted to pour into others. Look at this here. Are we desirous, as Brother Harold just saying, to see Jesus in heaven? Is that something that we're focused on, or are we more focused on earthly things here? I struggle, as I told you before, to even put any money into my home because I'm like, I don't think we're going to be here much longer. Just time's getting short. Many of you have been here longer on this earth than I have, and you've been hearing this. But I know time is getting close. It's getting real close. And I'll be honest with you, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm not telling you I'm going to go commit suicide, but to be honest with you, if the Lord took me today, I know my family would be hurting. But man, it's just, you get overwhelmed with so many things, just the burdens of this life. We look to the Word of God to get strength and encouragement. That's the only place that we can find it. So am I desirous to see Jesus work in me? Am I desirous to see Jesus work in the church, our church, in others, those that are lost, that we win to Christ, those that become new members, all right? Not everybody is on the same knowledge level that we're on. Each of us are on different levels. We desirous to see Jesus in heaven. Open the Word. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, desiring the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow. So that means you're not going to be able to open the Bible up and be able to teach just what Brother Mullins taught us the other night about the city of refuge. You're going to read that and you're going to go, what'd that mean? Desiring the sincere milk of the Word. I thought about this. Picture this. When Israel was leaving out, they were given manna. Manna was sent down from heaven. Plenteous. They had plenty. And it was amazing to me as I read this. If they picked up more today, say on Monday, if they picked up more on Monday than what they were supposed to, it would rot and stink. But then on the Sabbath, preparing for the Sabbath, Jesus would say, pick up enough for the 2 days. And that didn't rot, and it didn't stink. How could they not see this? But what did they want? We want meat. We want meat. Think about this in today's time frame. So many people, they want to dig in. They want to get so deep, like they just so that you can think that they're so smart. But we have the bread of life that we could share with the people that sustains us, right? I'm not telling you don't dig for the meat. But there's some places and there's some people that can't handle the meat. And you have to be able to bring it to their level. Let's ask this question here. Are the people around me desirous to see Jesus because of the things that I have heard, that they've heard of him from me? Do I testify of what Jesus has done in my life? You know, as I go around and I people find out that my mom has passed away and they're like, oh, you know, I'm sorry, this and that. Well, I'm like, well, let me tell you this. You're not going to understand this, all right? But I'm going to tell you anyways. And I share with them the verse that the Lord gave me that morning and how it gave me peace and comfort, right? Man, this one guy, he's like, man, I'm fixing to start crying right now. And I'm like, brother, I'm just telling you, if it wasn't for this word, I'd probably be out there strung out on drugs, shooting people, going crazy, stealing everybody's stuff. But this is the only thing that holds us together. Think about this. The things that people hear from me everywhere I go, we got to ask that question. Am I speaking as of the oracles of God, as the Bible says? Or am I just... I know we get to a point we say, well, I just say what's on my mind. I can just do that. Some of us get mature enough in our lifetime. We've been here long enough, had enough birthdays that we just feel like we can say anything to anybody because I've just been here long enough. Well, the Bible tells us different. The Bible in the book of James tells us that the tongue, it says, is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among members that it edifieth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. It talks about in here about how every beast of the field can be tamed. And if you've ever dealt with animals, think of how much time you spend to teach your little doggy to give you a high five, right? How much time, you don't just go up and say, hey, give me a high five, buddy, and with a little treat and the dog does it. You spend hours, hours, roll over, right? We spend all this time, but it says the tongue no man can tame. But we'll spend the time to train the dog, but we won't spend the time to tame our tongue. Psalms 141 and 3 says, O Lord, set a watch before my mouth. I heard that verse a long time ago, and I'm like, Lord, help me with that. Please put a lock and key on that thing sometimes. Because I can say things that I don't need to say. Colossians tells us that always let your speech be seasoned with salt and grace. Always. Then in chapter 3, it tells you to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So if I'm going to let my speech, I must have his mind in me. How do I get his mind in me? Through his word. We have to open the word and read the word to get it into us, because there's no other way. Psalms 19 verse 14 says, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord God, my Redeemer and my strength. Something not exactly to that, but that's what it says. That should be our goal in life. We should speak that those around us, as Herod, just heard things. He heard things that Jesus has done. Right? We can go around the community. I was sharing with my neighbor the other night about some things that Pastor Carter's told me. Some of the stories in the book, some of them are not. But I was just sharing with them, right? There's a testimony here in all these buildings. Every part of this piece of property. We were talking about it yesterday. He came out to visit with us over there at the gym sale. And Brother Johnson there, and me and him were talking about how Pastor Carter's hands was in everything. His hands was in everything. He wasn't a guy that says, hey, go over there and do that. Hey, you go do that, and you go do that. No, he was there working, right? And many of you know that, but some of us are new. We didn't know that. But it's the testimony that helps us, right? And when we share them things out in the community, does the people see that the Lord had to do that, or did man do that? I shared with him about the well out there. When he said, drill me an artesian well. The guy says, you don't drill them. He says, drill me one 300 feet right here. You don't do that, sir. How much you going to charge me? You going to pay me if I don't hit it? He says, how much you going to charge me? He drilled the well, and they're still filling the pool up to this day. Think about that. That's something that we can share with people. That's the only way that can happen is through the power of God. And we should be desirous today. Maybe we're not. Maybe we come in here, things have happened this week, it's been a bad, rough week. You have an opportunity right now in between the services to get your heart right. Get these things out of your mind. Open up your heart to receive the message this morning that you and me both can grow and be more desirous to see Christ, to be more like Christ, and to share his testimony out in the community. And I thank you for the opportunity to sit here and listen. Smith, appreciate it. We got 670 total this morning. Got about 10 minutes here, and take a little break, use the restroom, and get prepared for services. Thank you.
Thank you.